are, on this night, Sunday night, going to be completing with a third lesson some figures of speech that are used in the book of Isaiah about Jesus the Christ. And so we have seen already two of these, which a couple weeks back was Christ being the light. Quite a few references in Isaiah and other places in the Old Testament about Christ being the light. And then you remember a couple weeks back, I made a point though that's really interesting as you go through the New Testament then, that while you have an Old Testament prophecy about this coming light, and Jesus then fulfills that prophecy, the apostles would take the same prophecy and apply to themselves as now being responsible for carrying that light of the gospel and of Christ forward. And then all saints also have that responsibility. So this figure of the light, that clearly is a messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, becomes one that we share in as teachers and saints in Christ. Then we saw last week a very similar thing, also in Isaiah. And if you open Isaiah chapter 11 now, you'll note that this evening's reading began with the last verse in chapter 11. But our study last week began with the first couple of verses in Isaiah 11. A shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and strength. And as you continue all the way down through verse 5 and later, clearly this is a prophecy that is about Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God, your Lord and mine, our brother, he calls himself as well, but he is that branch. And by the way, that is an olive branch, a painting of an olive branch I found online. But the idea there is that at the end of verse 11, in chapter 11 at the end of verse 1, a branch from his roots will what? Will bear fruit. So the idea of the branch is that while Jesus is the branch, there will be a bearing of fruit that goes along with this image of Jesus. So last week we saw again, Jesus comes into this earth, he fulfills the prophecy, he is the branch of Isaiah 11:1, but he bears fruit. There are those who believe in him and will carry on his work, and they bear fruit down through the ages to this day, as we also are a part of sharing in this root or stem of Jesse, as it's envisioned in the Old Testament. And hopefully we too are bearing fruit. It's our responsibility to be sharing in this prophecy, if you will, by doing the best that we can to lead others to Christ and to inform them about his teachings and help them both internally in our own moral values and behavior, and then externally as we reach out to others, bear fruit. So this is, as I say, the third in the series where we have now a figure of a highway. So last week, we started in chapter 11, we read down through verse 10. Please note in chapter 11 at verse 10, it'll come about in that day. So there's no transition, there's no subject change. This messianic age that the first 9 verses are talking about, that idea is continued in verse 10. Look at verse 11. Then it will happen on that day. So it's the same day. And you'll notice in chapter 12 and verse 1, there's the expression that day. In verse 4, there's that expression that day. So clearly, chapters 11 and 12 are both dealing with the same messianic prophecy, the coming of Jesus the Christ. Now going to verse 16, the last verse of chapter 11, there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of his people who will be left, just as there was for Israel in the day that they came up out of the land of Egypt. So now we have the image of a remnant, one that's picked up in the Roman letter as well. Could be another whole lesson, I suppose. Maybe I'll do that next week. But you have the leftover ones, the few, those special ones that somehow are set apart from everybody else, or they are saved where others are lost. They are the remnant, the few. And in this remnant, there's this reference to this highway. The highway is for them. It's a highway from Assyria. Now, just kind of hold the idea of from Assyria, because as we go further, you'll find the highways involving a lot of other countries too. So it's not exclusively Assyria, or especially Assyria. But there's going to be a highway. It's for the remnant of the people who were left. It's similar like when they came out of Egypt. There's only a few that are going to be obvious. And in that day, verse 1, you'll say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. So we have remnants, twice the word salvation is used, the whole idea is being rescued, got something to do with this highway. Now verse 3, therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation, third time the word salvation is used, and in that day, verse 4, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, make them remember that his name is exalted, praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. In these verses, 11:16 through 12:6, you have a new figure introduced, that of the highway. But the most information you get about it is in the last verses of chapter 12 that we just didn't read, and the whole idea is that of bearing fruit. Like we had in the previous image of the branch in 11:1. Like we had with regard to the light and the responsibility that we all now be a light to the world. In other words, the idea of the last verses there, 4, 5, and 6, is that you're reaching out to others. You're giving thanks. You're making known his deeds. You're remembering his name. You're praising the Lord. You're letting it be known throughout the earth. You're crying aloud, shouting for joy, because great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. As proven fascinating to me, I hope you're appreciating it too, that each of these figures is about Jesus. And then about how we are joined with him, becoming part of him, are responsible for being his arms and his legs and his mouth, if you will, carrying on the work. Pardon me while I cough. Continuing that thought then, in Isaiah chapter 19, skip on over, look at verses 20 through 25. Now my apologies, I'll warn you up front. I've got 14 verses I want to look at tonight, so we will have to go rather rapidly. Wish I could develop these a little more thoroughly, but I think it's better to see them all at once this evening, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one. But come on over to chapter 19, and look down here at verses 20 through 25. It will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Remember, we had Assyria in the previous passage, now we've got Egypt. For they will cry to the Lord because of oppressors. He will send them a Savior and a Champion. Well, three times we have the word salvation, we have the remnant, there. Now we've got a Savior and a Champion. And he will deliver them, well, it's a salvation verse. Thus the Lord will make himself known to Egypt. And the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. They will even worship with sacrifice and offering, and will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt, striking, but healing. So they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and will heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance. Jerry Bassett and I were having a conversation this last week about how often you find Gentiles in the Old Testament. I was raised up from my youth, age 21, when I was baptized in Christ, through many, many years of teachers in a couple of different states, as a matter of fact. And good teachers, I'm not faulting them at all. But in those years, I was acquiring a sort of an idea that when God called the Jews, made Abraham, you know, the father of his chosen people, that nation is what the Old Testament talks about. As if there aren't any Gentiles in the Old Testament. The truth is, brethren, that God, in his dealings with the Gentiles, both then and in the future, is just everywhere in the Old Testament. It's amazing that the Jews of the first century couldn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But especially, being so familiar with the Old Testament as they are, that they couldn't recognize that God was going to reach out to the Gentiles. In this passage, well, the preceding passage, the Assyrians. In this passage, the Assyrians and the Egyptians, chapter 19 now. And how it is that the third party that's going to be interacting with those two is Israel. And they're all three together going to be in the highway going back and forth to each other and all of them praising God. The Gentiles are everywhere in the Old Testament. And under this figure, the idea is of a highway. They are going to be interacting and working with each other. They are commingling in their activities. We're going to see in that day that the great division between the Jews and the rest of the world, real as it is, true as it is, Colossians, other passages, Ephesians 2 especially, will tell us about tearing down the dividing wall that was between them. I'm not denying there's a Jew-Gentile divide. But only that the Old Testament always told us that the Gentiles and the Jews were going to be together in something really grand and glorious when the Messiah comes, when the light comes, when the bridge comes, when the highway gets built. So, that's chapter 19. Move over now to Isaiah chapter 35. Chapter 35, verses 8, 9, and 10 reads like this. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of what? The highway of holiness. This highway is a figure of holiness. Y'all know how that word works, Hebrew or Greek, Old Testament or New, set apart for some particular service. You're holy because you're in the Lord's service. There's going to be a highway, a roadway, called the highway of holiness, Isaiah says, some 700 plus years before Christ. The unclean will not travel in it. Is the next statement in verse 8. It will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No unclean, no fools. 9. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return, and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's a messianic prophecy, isn't it? That's a highway passage, isn't it? And that's a passage about Christianity. That's a passage about the new covenant. That's a passage about a relationship that we will have with our God, that only a select few will enter into, and those who enter into it, again, are not unclean, they are not fools, they're not lions or vicious beasts, they are only the redeemed who have everlasting joy and comfort with their Lord. That's the highway that you and I are on. In chapter 49, verses 8 through 13, again, always in Isaiah, in that left-hand column at least, in Isaiah 49, starting in verse 8, thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I've answered you, and in the day of salvation I helped you, and I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to those who are bound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on all bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst. I just want to plant a seed in your mind as we're entering into our study of Revelation itself now on Wednesday nights. We may be hearing something about hungering and thirsting in the book of Revelation. They will not hunger nor thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. So Another expression we might be finding in the book of Revelation, we do well to kind of just notice, try to keep floating in our heads here as we get into those studies. And, excuse me, lost my place there, didn't I? Anyway, and go for another thirst, the middle of verse 10. He who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. There's a passage or an expression we find in the Gospel of John, for instance, chapter 4. And in 11, I'll make all my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted His people and will have compassion on His afflicted. Here's a figure again about highway, the sign in the plural, roadways, where you have a people from all lands, and what are they doing? Rejoicing because of the comfort and the compassion that God has for His afflicted ones. These ideas of redemption, salvation, freedom from bondage, and the joy that goes with that freedom are all bundled up in the highway images, six of them, in the book of Isaiah. The next of which we'll look at is in chapter 62. Isaiah 62, 10, 11, and 12. Excuse me. Go through the gates. Clear the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Lift up a standard over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has claimed to the end of the earth, proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Again, brethren, these images have to do with redemption, with salvation, with God binding us back, with God rescuing us, and it's all bound up in the physical image of building a highway and rejoicing in the building of that highway. Now, as you can see, I got the last one out of order there in chapter 40, so you have to back up a little bit and went straight through the book to this point, but purpose for that. So go back now to chapter 40, look at verses 3 through 5, which I know you'll instantly recognize. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh, not just Jews, will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We are well aware. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Come on over to the New Testament now. We'll spend the rest of our time this evening in the New Testament. It was Mark chapter 1, and those first few verses were specifically told who and how this prophecy in Isaiah 40 is fulfilled. Mark begins. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist appears in the wilderness, there's a desert from Isaiah, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. There's your salvation. And all the country of Judea was going out to him. All the people of Jerusalem, they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Who's the first guy that picks him up a shovel and says it's time to build a highway in concert with the Old Testament prophecies of Isaiah? John says, highway building time. Okay? So let's get busy. Now how does he build that highway? Preaching, teaching, working with the people verbally and baptizing them for the forgiveness of their sins. Mark 1 says so. So that these people are being prepared to accept their Savior, their Messiah. And once again, this prophecy that is so rooted in Jesus Himself as the highway is now being fulfilled in John as a builder of that highway, a preparer, to knock the mountains down, fill up, you know, the rough places, smooth everything out. He is doing this with, dare we call it, the gospel. The good news that He was sent by God to proclaim of the coming, the soon fulfillment of this Messiah. So now the highway prophecy is being fulfilled in the work of this particular man. Look at John chapter 14. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, of course, well, starting chapter 13, we're going all the way through 17, we've got the Last Supper. We've got Jesus talking to the disciples there at the Last Supper. That is 12 men and the Lord, and then 11 after Judas leaves, and he is giving specific information about his forthcoming death, about their mission as apostles, about many topics as he is about to go to the cross. In 14:6, what does he say? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Back in Mark 1, which is quoting from Isaiah 40, he said, in verse 3 of Mark, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. So whether you're thinking in terms of highway or the way, either way, you're thinking about a roadway. Okay? You're thinking about a path. So highway or way, it is the same thing. And when we get to the New Testament, you're going to marvel, I think, I know I do, how many times the way pops up in the New Testament. And first and foremost, in Mark and again in John, as fulfillment of Isaiah 40, quoting Isaiah 40 in Mark, and then Jesus Himself declaring, I'm it. I'm the way. So if you're in the way, what would you be in? You'd be in Jesus. If you're in the way, what would you be in? You'd be among the redeemed. You'd be among the saved. You would not be an evil person. You would not be a fool. You would not be a violent person. You would be a joyful, ecstatically joyful individual because you're in the way. You have salvation. We saw that word so many times in Isaiah. Now, carry that thought forward, the book of Acts, and Acts will be the remainder of our study here, as a matter of fact, this evening. So in Acts chapter 9, and starting there in the first two verses, Saul, that's the apostle, not the king of the Old Testament, of course, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogue at Damascus, that if he found any belonging to the what? The way. A brother, probably raise your hand. How many of you know that in your Bible translation, the word way has been capitalized? A capital W. I think it's very helpful, very appropriate. Your translators are recognizing, oh, there's something that's unique and very prominent, very distinct, very recognizable about this word way. We need to formalize it somehow. And so they're recognizing, brother, rightly so, the references to the Old Testament way, the highway of prophecy, but also they're recognizing how many times that word way is going to turn up in the New Testament. This is the third time that we've seen that word way, and Jesus has said He's it. And it was a messianic prophecy every time in the Old Testament. He is the highway. So now in verse 1 and 2, what does Saul want to do before he becomes a Christian? He wants to persecute that way. He wants to find the people that belong to that way. He wants to go get the people that are on that highway and who are that highway and do them harm. He wants to break up the smooth places. He wants to rebuild the mountains. He wants to have those valleys cleared out and deepened. He wants to oppose everything Jesus stands for. Bad idea. By the end of chapter 9, he'll become a Christian, too. As you know, that's the first chapter, the speech of his conversion. So come on over to chapter 16. Chapter 16 now, look at verses 16 and 17. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having the spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. And following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Amazing. We have an evil spirit about to be cast out that still yet is, I think, probably against its will, being forced to proclaim the truth, or at least recognizing that truth, and then will be cast out, of course, and called false prophets, as a matter of fact, as these men had much gain because of this woman. But this demon, this evil spirit, recognizes something. The way is here. These people, these men, are bond servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of the salvation we saw attached to the highway every time back in the book of Isaiah. Turn to chapter 19. 19 verses 9 and 10. When some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. What have you just learned about Luke's thinking as he writes the history of the church? The way is a formal term that we can use to identify God's people. We can use that term the same way we can use the expression Church of Christ or Disciples of Christ, or as 1 Corinthians chapter 1, first couple of verses does, Church of God. These terms that refer exclusively to God's people has the way as another of these descriptive terms about that salvation that they enjoy in and on that way. Later in the same chapter, look at Acts chapter 19, and skip on down to verse 23. About that time, there arose no small disturbance concerning what? The way. Those nasty Christians. They just upset with everybody, aren't they? Those in the way, they're just troublesome. They're disturbing. They provoke trouble. And yes, they do. And they always will. And not because they enjoy it or want it or seek it. Only because, brethren, if you're in that highway, then what is the mindset of the people that are out there in the bushes on either side of the road? They don't like this thing. It is antagonistic to their worldview and their lifestyle, and it's going to provoke problems. They're going to be opposing this thing. The next one is in chapter 22 of the book of Acts. Again, this time, in 22, verses 3 through 5. "I am a Jew," Paul says, "born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today, and I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren, started off with Damascus, in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished." Brethren, the prophecy said that those same people in the way, they'll just be constantly rejoicing. But in the fulfillment of the New Testament, while every saint does do that, they also find that there's a lot of opposition in this way, and to this way, isn't there? And most often, here in the book of Acts, when that word way gets introduced, it's because they are so faithful, so unyielding, so perfectly set in the center of that way, and not looking to the left or the right, not deviating in any way, nobody can get them off that path. And it just infuriates these people who are trying to tempt them, to torment them, and to distract them from being in that way. And last time is chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, in verses 22 and 23. Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias the commander comes down, I'll decide the case. And, of course, he did. And he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. Well, of course, that would go on for 2 years because the guy's just a corrupt politician. But he knew about the way. He heard about the way. Right? You can't avoid the way. A straight and narrow way. A pathway of righteousness, of devotion, of redemption, of salvation. And only the wise and the clean walk in it. And when they do, you can't get them out of it. They are a people who will not budge. And while they're in it, they will spend their time proclaiming that way, the way that Paul did. They are a people whose business is on this highway, built with the blood of Jesus, the blood of John the Baptist, the blood of every one of those apostles and prophets of that first century, built by these who were steadfast in that way so that you and I can understand that way, choose that way, walk in that way, defend that way, preach that way, and bring the news of that highway to all the world. So that if you're an Assyrian, no problem, walking away. You're an Egyptian, no problem, walking away. You're out there in those coastlands and islands, you know? No problem. Walking away. Jew or Gentile, walk in the way of salvation. Rejoice in the way of salvation. And then as you see, both in these examples, as well as in these prophecies, proclaim that way. Shout about it, pray about it, sing about it, tell about it, everywhere that you go. Brethren, we are Christians, the children of the living God, brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the light as He was in the light, bearing fruit as He was the branch, on a straight and narrow path, calling to all of the world, come on. The mountains have been laid low, the valleys have been filled. Jesus is our salvation. Join us as one of the remnants, as we praise and glorify His name and tell all the world, no matter what they do to us, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. Appreciate your attention as always. If you are not on that way, choose this night to set your first footstep upon it. You are one who is wandering off to the left or the right, get back in darkness again, rein yourself in, back to the center of the road. You have questions or problems that we might be able to help you with, let it be known. Tonight, if you would become a Christian, do so. You need help as one, appeal for that help. As we now stand and sing.